But we want to have a relationship. Visual media, we want to have a relationship with that. Audio media, radio, DJs, we want to have a relationship with that. And we want to be able to make a statement in our music that's as dope as somebody not saying nothing at all. And you play it. And you allow the people to make the choice. If they don't want to hear it, they'll tell you, turn that off. But if they want to hear it, they'll keep dancing, they'll keep bobbing, they'll keep calling, they'll keep writing, they'll keep conversating, and it'll be an actual point of topic. So I really want you all to understand that as we sit here today and we talk about the media reform and reclaiming the media and all of that, I also like to add another form of media that people seem to forget. It's called the grapevine. The grapevine is the greatest media. You see what I'm saying? To me, it doesn't matter what's being written by Charles Mudaday. You see what I'm saying? Or played by Giorgio Brown and Kool Out. Or what's on KBCS, excuse me. I always say KCBS, excuse me. But if the people know, if the people are talking, that's going to fuel them to look in another direction. What else is happening in my community? The world community. Hip-hop runs the world, people. It's time everybody wakes up and recognizes it and gives it its proper due, and we'll do our part. We'll be smart. It is time for accountability, and that's why we're all here. So thank you.
First of all, I'm going to be very responsible for the negative and the positive sides of hip-hop, because you can't have one without the other. It's a mere illusion to talk about it like we can't have the 50 Cents. The Scary X's, you know what I'm saying? Them cats who scare you to death with their raps, because evidently they've been scared to death through some life event, and they need to pass that fear on to you. It's called transference, you know? So it doesn't mean that they're acting on it. It just means they're passing it over, you know what I'm saying? Which is the positive spin on negativity, you know what I'm saying? To put it on the music is way better than, as my man Tretch has said in his history, hip-hop. What hip-hop did for me and what it did for you has kept me out of your homes. You know what I'm saying? So, and you know, in where you could take that in literal terms or in other terms, you know, it has stopped a lot of people from really acting out wildly on physical, what looks like richness. You know, there was a time I would have come into this room and been really angry. You know what I'm saying? Just all physically what I see, and the topic being hip-hop. Whereas now that I work with youth and I teach youth what I knew or what I thought I knew, and they you know, they put theirs in and we talk about it, and I figure I didn't know a lot about society until I started doing hip hop, until I started listening to different artists. You know, everybody on this panel that spoke, I'm either a fan of them or I love their conversation. You know what I'm saying? So in that, I learned that from hip hop. So when I hear the question, what does hip hop mean to you? I kind of, you know, I get kind of weird because, I mean, we've been here for 20-something years. So, you know, the question is, what are you guys going to do with hip-hop? You know, again, you know, I can't really say anything any better than anybody has said it before me. It's all been said. The intellectual aspects of what hip-hop does for the community, the safety net that it provides for the community, for youth who don't have a lot of things to do. In hip-hop, my responsibility is to use the words, the word play, the techniques that are used to make rhymes and make people who are not into hip-hop encouraged by it. That's a craft that needs to be taught in our schools. I don't know that Washington State history is more important than linguistics. I don't know that's really relevant to the youth I work with, you know. And a lot of that is being blocked. A lot of that is not getting out because the larger forms of media, we're not paired with you guys. And as my partner said, those are the relationships that we want to build in whatever way we need to build them. I also just feel like, in my man saying hip hop is in good graces, we straight. But we do need media. We do need media to work with us to get our message out versus picking up what message, parts of the message they like and promoting those, because that doesn't do anything for us. That makes us look like one-dimensional individuals when we're really not. So my request to you, I don't think I was asked to make a request, but I usually don't do what I'm asked to.
Right.
So I'm going to ask that you as individuals, you know, whatever form of media information outlet or access you have, find out what how you can work with us and get us in there.
And then I have to go last to only, in a sense, confirm what has been said before. I support every last person's statement, reflection, and comments. I want to just kind of swing on the tail end of what Silas Black said here with asking or requesting that those that are here, you know, that are involved with media, I call it, my slangful expression is I call it a point of broadcast, whether you're a DJ, a TV program, a videographer, you know, a radio, a program director. You're in a position to help someone who doesn't have the power to broadcast themselves, broadcast. So in this current climate that we're in, let me tell you what hip-hop has done for me. What is hip-hop for me? Hip-hop is life, period. And I know you've heard all the rappers' stories. I mean, it just probably sounds like a skip record, you know, impoverished youth, you know, headed in the wrong direction. I don't necessarily say I was headed in the wrong direction. I'm just living in the hood.
Right.
And my mom, you know, she came, you know, overcome. By having to raise two boys, my dad died at 10, you know, it's a whole nother story. But while I'm trying to find myself, I found hip-hop, or hip-hop found me. And I started off like this. I heard the Fat Boys. That wasn't the first record I heard. Rapper's Delight was the first record I heard. So I heard a lot of, you know, hip-hop in between, Curtis Blow and everything, but the thing that sparked me is when I heard the Fat Boys. And I heard a guy go, and then I found out he was doing it with his mouth. Okay, wow, you what? Okay. Hip hop is the ability to create something out of nothing. And with that ability or that fact surrounding it, you have, as Amos stated earlier, it's a music that has been created by an oppressed people. Now, when we use that word oppressed, it's sometimes taken the wrong way because of the history of what's attached to the word. So were we in the ghettos just being beat, you know, or we're still being beaten by our slave masters? Not literally, but systematically. And we don't know what has affected us. I challenge anyone in this room to research or Google the Willie Lynch letter. That'll let you know what happened to us way back then, and it was told in that letter. Follow these instructions, and hundreds of years later, they'll still be affected, and we still are. So, dealing with the oppression, you have people who are oppressed that want, as I told you, I'm a champion of freedom, justice, and equality. How did I even know about that? Hip-hop. I heard a Public Enemy record, and they had a sample of Dr. Khalid Muhammad, rest in peace. I know he made a lot of white people mad by, you know, calling them devils and things like that, but you have to understand where he was coming from. And he was mainly saying, when you go back, if you research Malcolm X, Elijah Muhammad, go read their books and replace devil with system. How about that? I think that'll help you understand where they're coming from. There's something real out there that keeps a powerful people that have the ability to create something out of nothing down. And that's what they talked about. So this is what he said. We were robbed of our name, robbed of our culture. And many of us, by the way we act, we've even lost our mind. Here it is, bam! You know, then the song started. And I listened to that song a couple times just focused on that. I was like, what do you mean we lost our mind? I feel pretty cool, but wow, hold on, let me research this a little deeper. So then I acquire what is knowledge itself. And I just want to ask a question, just to make a point of how powerful hip-hop is. How many people in this room, we're Americans, so our parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, or great-great-grandparents were immigrants, are not from this soil? Raise your hand. Okay, now put your hands down. Okay. Now, how many of you know where your people came from? Okay. The difference between me and you, I can't speak for everyone. I'm just going to say me and you. I don't know where my people came from. And when you know where your people come from, you have an identity. You have something to hold on to, and you have something to look forward to. That's what's happening, you know, in the communities with most youth. And now today, where things are not even, we still have the racism issues, but now things are becoming economical. Okay, and with this music that was created out of nothing, just us trying to figure out a way to express ourselves, now this thing has become a multi-billion dollar industry that we're not even in control of, but we started it, and we're the artists, and so on and so forth. So, the request, like I said, I was gonna go on its tail end. I'm speaking to media entities, because we are now in a climate where the people who are in control, they know that there's freedom, justice, and equality, not only with or through oppressed people that express themselves through this music. We've had examples, Tupac Shakur, X-Clan, Public Enemy. See, they had to shut that kind of music down because what it will produce is an individual or individuals that will bring truth, a balanced truth, that will cut through all color, race, economic lines. And you'll see truth for what it is. And then people will start acting or reacting in the way, the smart ways they should. And all peoples from all color, boundaries, nations will join. And I'm not talking like the New World Order. No, not that kind of thing. I'm talking the real world order. Okay? So media entities, are you brave enough to open up a universal door to individuals who don't have the power to express themselves? Will you be afraid if you get a letter from someone that might threaten to cut off your lights? This is serious. This is really serious stuff, because I'm not here to even really talk about the war, but did you guys notice what happened to media right after the war kicked in? Did you guys notice? Where's Connie Chung? I'll wait for the answer. Where's Connie Chung? She spoke out against the war in just a kind of a professional way, and she was out of here. Okay, there's another war coming. I hope you guys know. Remember I said it, it's gonna be right here. Okay, so hip hop is going to be that voice that is going to go beyond CNN and the controlled media. Hip hop is gonna be the one coming to your door saying, hey, I have the truth to give to the people. Will you play it? Will you let me speak at your program, your event, your conference? Speak the truth so we can have a real world order? So that's about all I can say. Hip hop is life to me. It could be a life or a culture that if you open your minds, or continue to open your minds for ones who have opened your minds to it, something where you can learn, and not just learn about a people or a culture or the youth, or stay attached to the youth, but something that you can actually attach to your own self to elevate yourself, however, whether it's spiritual, physical, or economical. And don't want to leave the impression that hip-hoppers are not about business. It's just that business now has put blocks up where now artists who are just artists with talent looking for an avenue, they have to pay to play. So let's create those avenues where they don't. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So very quickly, I'll be
very brief. Thank you for that opportunity. My name is Gregory Lewis. I'm out here doing all kinds of stuff with these hip hop heads. I suppose promotion maybe, management maybe, but it turns into other things once you start working with these folks. Pretty soon you're running and getting coffee for people and everything else. So hip hop gopher, how about that? So I want to apologize everybody for being late. I think the one thing I wanted to say also as far as all that is, you know, don't judge a book by its cover. In other words, when you're driving down the street, you're going through your radio dials and you see the stunning shades and the gold teeth, they'll cut your eyes away and be like, niggas. Okay, let's get away from that. People may not say that openly because this is liberal Seattle and we're all very polite out here, but in people's own heads, you know, we can't really regulate that, but I strongly advise people not to go there, considering things that a lot of those folks, that's how their neighborhood was. The dope dealer is the guy. So if you want anything done in the neighborhood, you either go to the dope dealer or you become the dope dealer, okay? Which is, you know, that points to a larger societal problem that's beyond hip-hop. You know, that's always been there. It's just that now hip-hop was a venue for a lot of those folks to get on. Also, consider, you know, doing your research and your homework when you're dealing with these so-called commercial artists. You know, case in point, the Million Youth March. You know, everybody's, oh yeah, very cool, you know, everybody got together and, you know, discussed the issues affecting the Black and Puerto Rican community. Well, it wasn't organized by any of the conscious people. It wasn't funded by them. It was funded by Master P, a dope dealer from the block, from the projects in New Orleans, okay, who now owns a basketball team and everything else. So again, don't judge a book by its cover. I wasn't Dead President did that, wasn't Public Enemy, no. A lot of the information you got from Hurricane Katrina and the victims there was not brought to you by the news people. It was brought by the hip-hop artists first, you know, in particular going to Davey D's website and talking about where they're living. Juvenile, again, Master P, Lil Wayne, David Banner. You know, David Banner has a lot of all so-called filth in his music and everything else, and he's probably one of the more conscious people you will ever meet. If you ever get a chance, rent a movie called A Letter to the President, and you'll see a lot of these folks out of character, you know? You know, that's for lack of a better word. So, you know, when you see hip-hop, understand also a lot of the cats that are commercial and this and that, they have a lot of other things going on too, you know? So research who's who and what's what, and no just blanket statement. Well, these folks over here about the five elements and they're good, and these people over here that are, you know, putting, you know, 26s on their navigator, you know, well, the hell with them because they're on this over here. And, you know, I would say investigate a little further because a lot of them are on the same tip. It's just that, you know, they're aware of what sells. And so that's where they put their energy because they had one chance and that's what they did. Especially when you want to push a radio single in this country, you want to do it simultaneously on all the Clear Channel stations, you're going to pay a minimum of $25,000 to do it for a hit to happen. It doesn't happen because you like it or I like it, these people like it or the PD likes it or Charles Medede likes it. No. It's because you put the money where it needs to be, and those people recognize your game and go, oh, okay, and put it on based upon that, because you're business people. So it's, you know, and I'm sure the MCs here will tell you that now it's less about the art and more about your business, you know, as far as how what music goes on and what goes out there. But like I said, again, don't discount the hood completely, you know. Just have a, you know, investigate and get a clear understanding of why people do what they do, say what they say, and run in the circles that they do. That's all.
All right, thank you. I agree with this point. Just to close, thank you for coming along. One of my, and I know this, everybody knows me and what I have to say, and I'll conclude with this, my point of melancholy at times, I love hip hop, and I love talking about it. You know, we talk about nonstop. My point of melancholy, and I'm hoping that all efforts will change this. I have nothing against anybody being a gangster or toting a gun. I mean, I don't. I don't know if I have anything about somebody who raps about it. What I have a problem is, or a guy saying, you know, bitch this, bitch that. I have no problem. What I have a problem is, a woman can't come along and say, who are you calling a bitch? And hip hop used to do that. Used to say, a woman could come up and challenge that point. And so there was a real discourse, and it was taken to the dance floor, and it was a big hit. It was a big record. And why is it we can't have a big record that says, who you calling a bitch anymore? And that's my, I'll close with that note and have a good weekend. Thank you.
Don't leave.
Excuse me. I'd like to just make one last point that November is Hip Hop History Month, so it's time that we do the knowledge. Check out the websites, any of them that can draw you to hip hop timelines, histories. November is Hip Hop History Month. Let's do the knowledge. Peace, y'all.
Thanks to Charles and to all of our panelists and the folks that organize these panels. One more round of applause for these. My melancholy is that we only had a short hour to begin this conversation, not even to begin this conversation. I think about, reminded several times about of the poet Jane Cortez who said, okay, thanks. The poet Jane Cortez who said, find your voice and use it, and use your voice and find it. You know, it's really fruitful that this conversation has begun recently, and our larger community radio conference conversation has begun recently. It's nice that these have come together at this point in their growth. We don't know the directions that these two conversations are going to take, but I think that there's a lot of power in both hip hop and community radio to grow our regional media, our regional culture from the grassroots, to educate and to organize for social justice values. And so we can continue this conversation slightly in one way in our next, there's the next session, which is about how community radio can help support local regional music. And I'm hoping that some of this conversation, Silver Shadow will be involved in that panel, and I'm hoping that we can continue this conversation there. I've just got a couple of quick